And thank you, Pastor Nick and worship ministry. Thank you for helping us serve today. We're excited about entering into a new sermon series for the summer. I've entitled it The Red Letters. We're going to pause the epistle, 1 Peter. We'll pick back that into that text in the fall when school resumes. But during this summer, I want to preach some standalone messages, all with the same theme. That is, these are the red letters of Jesus. You're going to have to give me control from here. The red letters of Jesus in the Gospels are indication that Jesus spoke these letters. He spoke these words. They're going to reboot for me and help me help you follow along today. And so if you'll take your Bible and join me in Matthew chapter 4, we'll hit our first text. Let's see what we have here. There we go. I've entitled it, The Message of Jesus, The Red Letter Words. You and I have a propensity to make things too complicated. We make things too complicated. Here in this message, we're going back down to the foundation, the common thread of Jesus' preaching. Everything built off of this message, and it's found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. You know it, you've heard it, you've read it. But let me tell you before we actually look at the text, why it's so important to have a foundational thematic slogan to your ministry. Something people can remember, not just something that's cute, but something that ties everything you're about to do together. It gives direction and purpose. And anytime you try to venture off from that campaign, ministry slogan, that purpose, mission statement, it's just glaring as something you're not supposed to be doing. You need a foundational message, and Jesus had one. Some of you recognize this color hat. It's a red hat, a red trucker's cap. Excuse me, red trucker's cap. On the front of these caps for the last 7.5 years are white letters. They are the campaign slogan of a presidential candidate. Former president, then he lost the campaign, now he's running again for another term. This is not a political speech. I'm just telling you, he has one major opponent. And I dare say there's not a handful of people that could tell me the campaign slogan of his opponent. That is, if you were to put the campaign slogan of his opponent on a t-shirt, what would it say? I didn't know it. I looked it up. You'll have to look it up. I'm not going to tell you. But I dare say more than 50% of the people, with just the hints I've given you, if I gave you the acrostic, you would automatically know what this campaign slogan is all about. You see, you may not know the details of this candidate's economic plan, but his economic plan is based on one central theme, that slogan. You don't know what he may think in detail of his foreign policy with NATO. But you can say whatever it is, it will be generated from this simple foundational truth. You know what that is. And if you don't, after the service, you can ask him, what in the world was he talking about? I'll give you one hint. M-A-G-A. Yeah, the MAGA hat. You know what it is. because you've heard it over and over and over. You've seen it over and over again. I hope that today I can make the case that Jesus had a foundational message from which all of his teaching flowed. And that's the message I want you to leave here today, saying, yes, Lord Jesus, I got the message. I believe in you, and I believe in your message. What is that message? The Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 17, now from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming soon. What Jesus said about your priority, seek first the kingdom of heaven, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added, it flows out of this message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together. All these wonderful teachings are birthed from this central message that he has brought to the world, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. It's near. It's coming. It is at hand. The urgency of this message that Jesus preached was felt then, and it needs to be felt now. Today, I want to break this simple message down, and I want you to apply it to your heart. Jesus looks upon, and the setting is simple. John the Baptist was sent out as his opening act. And guess what John the Baptist was given by God to preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3, verse 2. There it is. John the Baptist, the forerunner, pointing the Messiah is here, preached this same message. And then Jesus, after the temptation, the 40 days in the wilderness, after John was martyred for the faith, for God's word spoken against power, he was beheaded. Jesus begins his public ministry, and this is the very first sermon he preached, because it would be his foundational sermon. What do we mean when we say repent? In the simple word are two mandatory commands. Jesus is saying you must do this. Before you ever even think about the kingdom of heaven, this is priority one. This is something you've got to take care of, and you need to take care of it now. It is imperative. You can't put it off. You cannot procrastinate. You cannot pretend it away. You need to repent, and you need to repent now. And repentance is a twofold action that is based on this understanding. My beliefs birth my behavior. My beliefs give birth to my behavior. Your beliefs give birth to your behavior. Now let's go in reverse. My behavior tells what I truly believe. If you are behaving wrong, there's only one reason, because you're thinking wrong. If your behavior is wicked and ungodly, it's because your thinking is wicked and ungodly. If your behavior brings dishonor to your parents, it's because you have allowed your thinking to dishonor your parents. Your beliefs give birth to your behavior. Those two things are connected in God's universe for every generation, every boy and girl, every man and woman, there are no exceptions. If you don't change your thinking, you cannot change your behavior. And the word repentance means to change your mind, to change your thinking. And so first, in the mandatory commands of repentance, when Jesus preached it, he was saying, you are thinking wrong, therefore you are behaving wrong. You are idolatrous in your lifestyle because your thinking is idolatrous. And he's saying you've got to turn from it. You've got to change your mind about worldly thinking. You cannot entertain it. You cannot be amused by it. You cannot allow it to start becoming predominant in your rationale. You've got to say, Lord, if it's not of God, my mind is not going to dwell on that. I will not receive that as normal, as acceptable to God. I don't care if the entire culture says we've got new mores, we've got new norms, we've got new moral behavior to accept. If the world says it, it is wrong. And you've got to say, unless it lines up with the Word of God, I will reject it and renounce it. I will not have that in my mind. I will not allow my mind to accept the things that God has condemned. It is wrong, and I am not going to dwell on that. Greediness, selfishness. The word sin, repent from your sin, is based in that universal broken nature of rejecting the things of God and rejecting God himself. What do we replace it with? Our pride. Our pride. God gives us a beautiful, sparkling lake of humanity with all the potential, brimming with life and joy and beauty. And what do? We turn our hearts from him. We turn our hearts from him. We allow that beautiful creation of heart, soul, and mind to be polluted with pride, to be corrupted with conceit, to be sullied with selfishness. And all of a sudden, you wouldn't want to put your toe in our hearts of sin. It's like walking into a dining room filled with cockroaches. It's repulsive. That's the sin of selfishness. And Jesus is saying this is destroying you. It's destroying your family. It's destroying my people. It's destroying my creation. Turn your mind away from that. Stop trying to domesticate sin. Stop trying to handle it. Stop trying to pretend you can corral it and make it become obedient. You wouldn't put a rattlesnake in a baby carriage. God is saying, see your sin for what it is. It's repulsive. All of the lying and the cheating and all of these things. God lists them. We know what they are. He's saying, renounce it. You've got to repent of your sin. When God came, he came in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his very first message was a negative message. We don't like negative messages. We like pretty messages. We want a warm, fuzzy feeling when we leave. We don't want to be stunned by the gospel. We like the precious memories, Jesus. No blood. You don't have Jesus fashioning a whip in that version. I'm telling you, right at the beginning, Jesus gets brutally honest with me and with you. and says, Greg, you got a problem, buddy. And it's going to destroy you and take you down. And it'll do one little step at a time. One little click. Just one little click. That's all it'll take. On a pornographic site on the internet, nobody's watching. CIA is probably watching, but you know, you're not aware of that. One little click. It won't hurt anybody. One more bag of Doritos. I mean, after all, it's only 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to be up till 6. I think I'll keep eating. One more negative, gossipy word. They'll probably never find out it came from me. It feels so good to take down powerful people with half-truths and gossip that I really don't even know is true. See, the devil doesn't show you the end. Oh, he knows what's coming. And if you ever stop for a moment, you'd know what's coming. He just takes you just one more time. No one will ever find out about it. You and I must come to the reality of sin, and we've got to get brutally honest, my friend, with our neighbors, our people, our friends. If they have not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I'm telling you, in a kind way in love, that's how we're called to communicate, but we must tell the truth. We must tell the truth. If they are committing adultery, you just pretending like it's not happening, and you know you are a friend in love, you need to tell them the truth. That is outside of the bounds of God's word for God's people. We are accepting things that are not of God, and Jesus from chapter 4, launching out his public ministry, the very first thing he says is repent of your sins. Now, the second mandatory part of this command is this. Turn to God. Turn to God. Hear me. This second part is absolutely vital, or the first part won't mean anything. It won't do you a bit of good. And here's why. Because if you don't replace the selfish spirit with the Holy Spirit, the selfish spirit will just take right back over. You see, it is so important once you recognize you've got the problem, get rid of the problem, but then replace it with joy. Replace it with God. Turn to God. Turn to God. I mean, just fill your life with the goodness of God. You say, well, man, if I don't have any more time to drink with my carousing buddies and stop all this gossiping, what are we going to talk about? Talk about God. Find you some good buddies that love the Lord Jesus Christ and get excited about God. That's what you talk about. Man, talk about the good things, about your grandkids and your children and the blessings God put on you to have a job and you got health. Man, you can just have a glory hallelujah fit without the goodness of God. Hear me today. I'm not here to tell you sin is bad and stop doing it, and if you'll just do that much, then you've... No. My friend, you're not even there yet. That's just the prelude. The good part is turn to God. Turn away from your sins. Stop believing the lie of the devil and turn and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to God. I want to encourage you today. I want you to turn to God. I'll give you three things. You say, well, what should I do? Number one, love God with your worship. Love God with your worship. Just go ahead and get you some good old gospel music, whatever style you like, the new style, the old style, the middle style, whatever. Start filling your mind with the praises of God. They've got the gospel music in any music style you want. They rap it. They sing it. They got music, gospel music sound like Willie Nelson. I mean, they've got all kind of gospel music out there. Just fill your life with good stuff. I mean, just pour it in worship. Then in your own life, express your gratitude to God. Just love God. You spend all that time loving the world. You spend all that time loving the devil. Why don't you make up by saying, now I'm going to doubly make up and love God and worship Him. Then learn the Word. Learn the Word. Start learning the truth. Just start pouring in the Bible into your heart and soul and mind. Just start learning it. Just keep it on your heart. Keep it on your mind. That way you know when the counterfeit comes your way. Nope, this is the truth. That's counterfeit. Learn the Word and then live the will of God. Live the will of God. Love the worship of God. Learn the Word of God and live the will of God. Do you know the promise of God for you is abundant life? You can't handle all the goodness God wants to give to you. All He says, just come under the spout where the glory comes out. And so He just wants you just to position your life to receive. Just receive it. I'm telling you, God's wanting to bless you. Come get under the flow and just watch God just pour out His blessings on you. I'm telling you, I've been so blessed this week, I can hardly stand it. I got to see my 4-year-old grandson graduate from preschool. Yeah. I didn't know there was a thing. Terry said, there's a thing. It's called preschool. Well, now, we ain't got to kindergarten yet. That's next year, Lord willing. Got to see my grandkids. Got to minister to family. We had a wedding here last night. Juliana Felkley and Nick Brumfield, two beautiful families come together. I mean, then they went to the reception, the fellowship hall, had a big reception. Sorry you weren't invited. I'm telling you, it was wonderful. No, I'm just kidding. What I just saw these, they were rejoicing. They were rejoicing. You know my happy people. That old boy stood right here, and he looked at those two double doors. They did it the old-fashioned way. The bride and the groom never saw each other. They took pictures afterwards. Now, it makes for a long day, I'll admit. But it was all worth it. It's so silent in here that when you open those doors, it creates like a vacuum in here, and you hear this. And that music started, and she walked through those doors, and he saw his bride. You talking about fun. You talking about joyous. And we got to witness that. I'm telling you, we got our priorities wrong in this nation. We have missed the good stuff. And God is wanting to give you the good stuff. But you got to get out of that old thinking and then say, Lord, I want you to experience the blessings of God. Now, then there's two convincing motivations. You see, Jesus calls us to do this. Now, really, because He's God, that's all He really ever had to do. He doesn't have to convince me. He doesn't owe me any explanation. As a child, we've all been there when Dad told us to do something. And then what did we want to ask Him? Why? Son, it's time for you to cut the grass. Why? I asked that one time in my lifetime. I remember just one. I learned. Oh, He's God. He doesn't know me. But look at the mercy of God. Repent. turn from your sin, change your mind about the old way of life. Don't be enamored with the things of this world. Turn to God and receive the blessing and learn the will of God for your life and live it out in praise and glory to Him. Learn and live in love and worship. And He says, why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near. He's coming. Jesus had come. The long-awaited Messiah has arrived on earth. And not only is He going to redeem this earth and reign for 1,000 years one day, He's going to create a brand new heaven and a brand new earth, and it'll be made for all eternity. I mean, as good as God shows Himself to us here, it hasn't even begun to understand the goodness. But there's two motivations why you and I need to be telling the world, repent of your sins, turn to God. The first one is this: the kingdom of heaven is near taught that the judgment of God is near. That's what he was saying. You see, you don't enter into the kingdom of God from a sinful place with a sinful heart and just waltz right in to the presence of God. There's a purifying that needs to take place. Your sins have to be paid for one way or the other. Either you accept that Jesus paid for your sins, or you've got to pay for them yourself. Either you enter into the kingdom of heaven as a child and follower of Jesus Christ, or you are sent to hell to pay for your own sins. You get the choice. The provisions have been made. You have to receive that from Christ by faith. Or you can say, I don't believe God. I don't have this whole thing. I'm just going to do it my way. You're welcome to do that. Wrong choice, by the way. Wrong choice. But you can do it, and you'll have all eternity to pay for the endless offense, the eternal offense of your life against a holy God. I'm telling you, that's not the choice I want to make. And at age 12, I made the right choice. I humbled myself and placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He paid for my sins and gave me His gift of righteousness. Not that I earned it. He gave it to me and I received it. The judgment of God is near. When John the Baptist preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It is at hand. He went on, and you can read in that passage. You can read John saying, verse 9, and do not think you can say to yourself, we have Abraham as our fathers. He was talking to Jews who had rebelled against God. He says, I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children from Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. God's saying, there's a division coming. The chaff and the wheat, my followers and those who've rejected me, some are going into the kingdom of heaven for an eternal reign with Christ, and some will go to hell to pay for their own sins. Why? Because they rejected the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Their pride kept them from heaven. You see, there's a judgment nearing. That's why Jesus said, repent. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, you're weary. I will give you rest. You can enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a judgment of God nearing. Most of us have a hard time understanding death is coming. This week I did right here in this very same place. Our longest living, oldest member as at the time of her death. Now, she wasn't the longest living in our history, but she lived over 101 years old. But death came eventually. even after 101. Death is coming. I was reading a famous novelist died, and he wrote this in one of his last novels. He wrote for this character. Anything can happen to us at any time, at any moment. Everyone knows that. And if they don't, well, they haven't been paying attention. One out of one. That's the odds that you live and you'll die. One out of one. And a judgment is coming. And Jesus said, stop, stop. Turn back. Stop believing the lie and turn back to the truth. Come back home. Turn to God. But I'm telling you, the last convincing message, the kingdom of heaven, this is an awesome, awesome reason to repent of your sins and turn to God. One, you avoid the judgment of God on your sins. Christ has already taken the judgment. He died for you in your place, so you could live forever with Him. But the second reason is what I've already alluded to. The enjoyment of God is near. The enjoyment of God is near. His plan is not so awesome that we can't even, it's so awesome we can't even comprehend all of it. But here's some things we do know. Right now, we get to experience the enjoyment of a relationship with God right now. He comes to us right now. He dwells with us, God with us in Christ right now. You can be enjoying God's goodness right now in a broken, horrible, broken world. Even as selfish as this world is, the goodness of God can be seen. His church is alive and well in this place. You can see the goodness of God. His presence and the Holy Spirit is in this place. We are not without the Holy Spirit. The goodness of God is here. The kingdom of heaven is near. You can have it. You can experience. You can have the joy of God in your life. That's why we want to tell the gospel to all people. And then God one day is going to redeem even this broken world that we broke. He doesn't leave anything unbroken. For 1,000 years, he's going to renovate this earth of His. And then after that appointed time, He's going to say, it's time for a brand new heaven and a brand new earth, and eternity is going to launch out, and then we've got that to experience. We've got the goodness of joy now. We've got a goodness of joy awaiting the millennial kingdom, and we've got the goodness of heaven awaiting. I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven, what are you doing if you haven't given your life to Christ? What are you waiting on? What deal are you? You think something better is behind door number 3? You play, let's make a deal with your soul? Let me tell you what's behind door number 3. A goat. That's what's behind there. Nothing. Jesus has said, I can give you life and life eternal. I allow you to come into the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This message is repeated one other time, and we find it in Mark 6:12. Jesus sends out the disciples, and guess what he tells them to preach? Telling everyone they met, repent of your sins and turn to God. That, my friend, those are the red letters. That's the message. And everything flows out of that. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we come in the precious name of Jesus today, asking, Lord, that you have your way, that you do in us what we cannot do for ourselves, Lord, convict us if we're not living the life we're supposed to be doing from the pulpit to the pew. Lord, help us desire and love you not as a way of self-righteousness, but of humble submission to say, God, clean my heart and clean my hands. I don't want to compromise and miss out on all the good stuff. The power to live for you, the joy to live for you, to live a life that brings honor to you. Lord, thank you for the body of Christ. Someone here may need to receive Christ. They've never repented of their sins and turned to you and placed their faith in Christ. Lord, during this invitation, I pray they would come. Someone may need a church home. Someone here today may be wrestling with a decision, maybe perhaps to enter into ministry. You may be calling them to ministry. Maybe we've just needed to stop and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. May this be a praise time for someone today. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?